Lots of surprising things. I don't know what you think would be the most surprising thing to happen in the past. Have you heard about the time when the city of Boston was nearly destroyed by sugar? It was early in the 20th century. This is how it went down. Wednesday, the 15th of January, 1919, there was a 90-foot-wide cast iron tank containing 2.5 million gallons of crude molasses. It was ready to be made into rum. Well, it was a hot day, and the sugar kind of expanded a bit, and the tank exploded. It was 50 foot above street level. Of course, as it exploded, tons and tons and tons of sugar poured out down the street. In just a few seconds, with no warning whatsoever. What resulted was, as the eyewitnesses say, a sticky wall of molasses about 15 foot high, rushing through the city at about 35 miles an hour. It demolished buildings, teared them up from the foundations, it carried off vehicles, and it drowned horses. People who tried to outrun the wave were engulfed as well. I'm trying to think of a good sugary sweets-related pun to go at the end of that story. They were in a sticky situation. I don't know. If you can think of one, let me know, because I'd love to have one. Of course, a very surprising event from the past. Maybe it's not that serious, but if we're thinking about surprising events from the past, we might also think about the sinking of the Titanic, that supposedly unsinkable ship. What a great tragedy that was. Or the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. No one could see that coming, could they? Or more recently, and possibly very much ingrained on our minds, the attack on the World Trade Center in September the 11th, 2001. History contained many, many surprises, things that you could never have predicted taking place. And do you know, our reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, which again you can find on page 428 of the Old Testament part of your Bible, contains one of those surprises, something that no one could have seen coming. There was the nation of Judah. It was spiraling out of control. It was destined for destruction. A tiny little country sandwiched in between two great powers, Assyria to the north and Egypt to the south. There'd been political chaos. The king before the one we're thinking about today, King Josiah. The king before him, King Amon, his dad, reigned for just 2 years before he was assassinated in a palace coup. And Josiah, the king, just 8 years old, put onto the throne. Hardly a mark of a settled and established country, is it? This was a time of great chaos. King after king had abandoned the ways of the Lord, and said they'd been invaded, their country had been pillaged, and really the country was just tottering on its last legs, about to be destroyed. Then something extraordinary takes place, and we see a period of great stability. 30-something years of the reign of Josiah. 31 years, verse 1, we can see. Why did that happen? Why did that great surprise in history take place? Well, we're going to see two things as we look at this part of the Bible for the next few minutes. Firstly, we're going to see that even in the darkest days, God remembers his promise. And we're going to see that amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. Even in the darkest days, God remembers his promise. And amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. People often think they live in dark days, don't they? I don't know if, like me, you read the newspaper online, or the last free newspaper that you can read online. Well, it's the last mainstream one you can read for free online. It's The Guardian. And when you get to the bottom of reading a Guardian article, it really tells you you should be paying money if you've read the article. And the way that it justifies that, it says, "We are living in dark and turbulent times." Are we? Is it really that bad at the moment? And because we're living in such dark and turbulent times, we need the kind of journalism that The Guardian represents. That's their argument. Everyone thinks they live in dark days, don't they? And yet, at this point in 7th century BC Judah, things really were very, very bleak. The Assyrian Empire had come right up to the doors of Jerusalem during the reign of great-granddad Hezekiah. Even under the reign of granddad Manasseh, the Assyrians had come and kidnapped the king and taken him away and tortured him it was likely the country wasn't going to last for much longer. These were dark and frightening days, and the Assyrians, they were truly terrifying in what they did to the people they attacked. Truly terrifying days. A boy king had come to the throne, just 8 years old. It's hardly what you want in a stable country, is it? This is the time when advisors, all seeking their own power and influence, come to the fore and jostle around the boy king. This is a time of great instability. And yet, even in the darkest days, God remembers his promise. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his ancestor David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a boy, he began to seek the God of his ancestor David. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places. Remember, those are the places that people had invented as a way of worshipping God on their own terms, saying, well, look, God, we don't want to obey what you say about going to Jerusalem. We'll make our own version of worshipping you. We'll do it in our way. Well, Josiah takes down the high places, the sacred poles, and the carved and the cast images. You see, Josiah seeks to return the people of God to the worship of God. He calls the people back to faithfulness to God, even though he's just a boy, 16 years old, when Josiah starts to reform the nation of Israel. A few years later, he really gets to work, taking down all the idols that people have worshipped in the place of God. And as he does so, God blesses his people. As the people turn back to God, God does something. Not as a surprise, not because God has changed his mind about Israel. God blesses his people because he always remains true to his promise. Even in the darkest day, God remembers his promise. God had promised to be his people's God and to be with them, to keep them safe and to bless them. If only they would obey his words and keep his commandments. So if they disobey his commandments, they shouldn't expect that he'll keep them safe. And when they turn back to God, God, of course, acting in great faithfulness to his promises, keeps the people safe. And so in the midst of chaos, there's a moment of great and unexpected peace. Even in the darkest days, God remembers his promise. If you can remember what it felt like when you first heard about the events of September the 11th, even now so many years later, it's hard to imagine how terrible that day really was for people right in the thick of it and the families of those who were right in the thick of it. What amazes me is that as chaos was unfolding around the victims of those attacks, many, hundreds, thousands of them in those dark moments chose to remember promises that they had made. They chose to remember their faithfulness to their loved ones, to their husbands and wives, their children. Even though they were fighting for their lives, many of them called home, sent text messages reminding their wives, their husbands of how much they loved them. C.C. Lyles, for example, was an air hostess on one of the planes. And as chaos was unfolding and great uncertainty loomed over everyone, she took that moment in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the crisis, to call her husband and tell him how much she loved him. Well, even in the darkest days, no matter how bad things might seem, God is always faithful to his promise. However chaotic your life might seem today, whether you jumped out of bed this morning in great excitement, or you looked at the rain and you thought, I really don't fancy facing today at all. However you're feeling, even in the darkest days of your life, God will remember his promise and he'll be with you. And that's what we learn. First of all. Secondly, we see that amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. Josiah begins his great reform of the nation of Judah, taking away the idols and eventually restoring the temple. See this in verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he'd purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. God promised to dwell amongst his people and be present with them in the temple. Now they do God the great honor of restoring that temple. And as the building work takes place, they discover something that should never, ever have been lost. As they made their way through the temple and they sought out all of its treasures. Verse 14, whilst they're bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, the priest Hilkiah found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. This was a book that never should have been lost because it contained God's words to God's people. Or how did Josiah respond when he heard the words of the Lord? He tore his clothes. Verse 19, his heart was broken. He knew that the people had turned away from God. They'd forgotten his words, and they should expect God's judgment against them. So he commanded the people to be brought together in one place, and there he commanded that the word of God should be unleashed, should be read, proclaimed to all the people in his hearing, and that they would bind themselves to faithfulness to God's words. The word of God was unleashed. And so prosperity, protection reigned. Amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. We saw that through the reign of Josiah as the word of God was rediscovered, as the Bible was opened up and people were able to hear the words of their maker, the one who has a unique knowledge of who we are and what we're like, speaking to us. Of course, if that is exactly what the Bible is, the words of the Maker to us, those he's made, it would be foolishness, wouldn't it, to ignore what he has to say to us. And Josiah could see that this was a book that should never have been forgotten, and so it was read aloud for many to hear. And as the words were proclaimed, amazing things happened. Hearts that had been hardened in the worship of idols turned back to the living God. A nation was reformed. And peace reigned. Amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. And do you know that this has happened over and over again for thousands of years, ever since this point? It is an eternal truth that amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. On the day of Pentecost, recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, just an ordinary fisherman by background, stood up and read from the Bible, the readings of the day, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he proclaimed the word of the Lord, lives were changed. Thousands of people became followers of Jesus on that day. Amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. 700 years later, the Roman Empire's come and it's gone in this land. Christianity has gone as the Roman Empire pulls away. But one boy is still a Christian, a boy called Patrick. He's captured by some Irish people and taken to live in Ireland to worship, to live as a slave. But as he goes, he takes with him in his mind the words of God. And as the words of God move from his mind to his mouth and out into the open, a country is transformed. A country that had never known the sound of the gospel message about Jesus. A country of paganism and witchcraft was transformed as the word of God was spoken. Amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. And unleashed it was, because not only was the island of Ireland transformed, but missionaries went out from that place bringing with them the word of God. Now that it had been unleashed, they brought it to the shores of this country and proclaimed it. They proclaimed it from Iona and Lindisfarne and made the word of God known. It had been unleashed. And amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. In the 12th century, some hundreds of years later, the church in Europe was gripped by all sorts of terrible practices. It was a church that was gripped by nepotism and corruption, a church that was more about making money than speaking on God's behalf. Until people like Francis of Assisi opened up the Bible and started to speak its words to anyone who would hear. And amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed and the church was transformed. but just for a generation or so. A few hundred years later, the same thing needed to happen as the European Reformation took place, and the Bible was unleashed in all of its life-changing power. The reformer Martin Luther said this about his work and ministry. He said, "The word of God did it all. Had I wished to, I might have started a fire when I began my ministry. But while I sat still and drank beer with Philip and Amsdorf, his friends, God dealt the church a mighty blow. The word did it all." Amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. And in the 18th century, the same thing happened in this country. No one came to church at the beginning of the 18th century. Think about those tricorn hats and poldark and all of that sort of thing. No one came to church in those days. It seemed like the church was about to disappear as an age of rationalism and science swept all before it. Until men like George Whitefield and John Wesley travelled the country speaking the word of God. And amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. A nation was transformed and changed. And if we think about some of the great advances in our society, like the end of the transatlantic slave trade or the end of child labour and universal suffrage and things like that, all of those things came about because the word of God was unleashed in the 18th century. So you and I, we need to unleash the extraordinary power of the word of God in our lives. Now the question is, how on earth did something as powerful as the word of God get lost in the first place? How did it end up in the crypts of the Jerusalem temple with no one interested in it, no one even noticing that it was gone? Well, perhaps it started as people said, well, do you know what? The Bible's a bit offensive. Don't really like hearing it. Let's just read it in private. Keep it to ourselves. As regular people stopped wanting to hear it, they didn't ask for it to be read out. They didn't ask for it to be preached from. They didn't want to read it for themselves if they could, in fact, read. And so, within a generation or so, it's forgotten. The same thing can happen today, and has happened many, many times in the life of our country. As soon as we decide the Bible has nothing to offer it, or we decide to stop reading the Bible for ourselves at home, or we don't expect it to be preached at church and we're just happy with the vicar's latest musings on whatever's happened in the last week, or the vicar's selection of favourite poems that he's written himself, musings on ducks in the river in the village or something like that. As soon as we're happy with that as the preaching in church, then the Bible is as good as forgotten. We need to unleash its extraordinary power in our lives. And the best way we can do that is to read it, to think upon it, to meditate upon it, and to obey it. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The great conqueror Napoleon, no stranger to what is powerful, said this about the Bible. He said, "The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose its advance." The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose its advance. Let's make sure that we're not opposing its advance, but we're allied with it. Reading the Bible for ourselves, upholding its standards, wanting to hear it taught to us, rejoicing in it, thinking upon it. Because amazing things happen when the word of God is unleashed. Let's unleash it. Amen.